The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bill Eggers. He is the Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing wonderful on this beautiful, kind of cool day for Washington in July.
Well, it's always cool when you get Bill in the studio. He's been here several times. And what's cool about Bill is he just wrote a book. And that's always impressive because when people feel finished books, they usually wind up calling suicide hotline or they want to crawl in a hole. And I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to type. I don't want to write. I just want to drink beer and watch the Redskins or something, you know. So it's remarkable that he finished the book and he's among the living. And that's what we're talking about today, about the book. And it's a very appropriate for this audience. This talks about innovation. It talks about the digital world. Tell us about the title of the book and how you came up with it, please, Bill.
Well, actually, so this is, you know, writing books are painful, but because this is my ninth book, you kind of get used to it, right? So not as painful as the first few. And I wrote another book called Gov 2.0 12 years ago, which looked at, during the dot-com era, looked at the technology revolution going on there. And, you know, 12 years later, I wanted to look at, well, what happened? And in many respects, a lot of us who are working in the e-gov era, a lot of things that we thought would have already happened by now, and we thought government would already be digitized. And it's not fully. We wanted to explore why not. The second reason is that I've also wrote another book which looked at essentially over 100 major government initiatives since World War II. Why did some succeed? Why did some fail? And then we saw after healthcare.gov, I really wanted to look at why did that launch fail so badly and what can we learn from that? And it turns out that doing digital well is very, very different than doing other kind of major government projects. And I wanted to write about how different it was and how do you actually succeed at doing digital.
One word that's kind of associated with this book is this word hacking. Tell us about the word hacking and why you want to use that word with describing some of your work here.
Well, you know, a lot of people think of hacking as just kind of cybersecurity and hackers hacking in. But actually, among the technology community, hacking has another meaning, which is basically just fixing things, making them better, but doing it iteratively and actually taking old systems and old sort of IT things and fixing them, improving them, modernizing them, but doing it in a way that it's not all one fell swoop. And so it's hacking away at that problem. And that's what I thought was a great metaphor for digital, because we actually need to fix how we do procurement, how we do delivery, how we do all of these things in the digital world, but it can happen in an iterative basis. It's not this kind of giant transformation that needs to that has to happen in an X amount of time. And that's why I got to that metaphor, because as we look at reforming government in the future, I think that the way that technologists go about this is really, really a great metaphor for this.
And let me just read the title of the book, make sure I get it correct. Delivering on Digital, the Innovators and Technologies that are Transforming Government. Is that the right title?
Absolutely.
So you can go to Google, type it in, wind up at Amazon, other places to find it. Where could they find it?
We actually have a website called deliveringondigital.com.
And on that website, easy to remember, huh?
Yeah, easy to remember. It has playbooks. It has infographics. It has question and answers. It has a lot of other articles written on this topic. So there's a lot of things that people can get, you know, in conjunction with the book.
If you look at the book and kind of skim it and you see the chapter titles, this is where the hacking thing comes in. You have one title, Hacking, Hiring and Training, Hacking Delivery, Hacking Procurement, Hacking Silos, Hacking the Dark Side. So, boy, you're covering all the bases here.
No, absolutely. I wanted to look at essentially what were the major things you need to do well in order to get digital transformation, right, for governments to become more digitally mature. And, you know, the first thing that governments need to do in many respects is adapt a different mindset. And that's really having a digital mindset as opposed to a traditional mindset. And being digital, it's more than just technology. It's seeing new old problems through new eyes. It's basically a different way of looking at customers, about launching products and services and working. People that have this mindset, and I interviewed dozens and dozens of them in the course of writing the book, they believe really in openness, user centricity, co-creation, simplicity, agility. It's a really core set of beliefs. And I actually think that the divides we're going to see in the future, the difference between those with a traditional mindset and a digital mindset, are as important today as liberal versus conservative were in terms of government yesterday.
I watch Francis Rowe's Government Matters, and I think it was last week I was watching him. He had a guy, a congressman on, and the congressman was kind of, thought he knew a lot about everything, and said, well, the federal government, 80% of the budget for information technology goes to managing legacy existing systems. And I think this whole concept of hacking can apply to overcoming barriers in legacy systems as well, can't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can't get to where government needs to get to from a digital perspective without getting that cost down. And essentially, what you want to be doing is spending a lot less time managing, operating kind of old, antiquated legacy systems, some of which, were 30, 40 years old, and instead putting them into much more lightweight, much less expensive digital products and solutions, which can increase productivity, which can also empower employees because they've got mobile devices and decision-making tools. So that's the big important shift that needs to happen, is moving some of those costs out of the legacy systems and into these new approaches, again, which are often cloud-based, and they're much, much less expensive.
So the way you wrote the book, you didn't sit under a tree and wait for the muses to inspire you and then come up with iambic pentameter. Tell us about how you wrote the book and the interviews you did and the people you actually talked to.
Well, the way I write just about every book is I really get out in the field. In this case, we did over 200 interviews with government officials and other experts all over the world, from Australia to New Zealand to the UK to Amsterdam, Estonia, Canada, the US, and so forth. Really just to understand what this transition was all about. We also surveyed more than 1,200 government officials in over 70 countries to get their thoughts on the digital transformation. What were the major barriers to it? What were the obstacles? But also, what were the opportunities for it? The book is really about the innovators who are really trying to transform government, pull government into the 21st century. Through perseverance, through courage, and just a lot of hard work.
Well, here it is, July, August 2016. I think I can predict with a reasonable degree of certainty there's going to be some change happening in the next 6-8 months in this town. And many of the people who are involved in information technology have to realize that they may be in through a tough storm. And I think maybe this book will give them some kind of a guideline or a rudder for them to manage some of the change that's going to happen. There's going to be lots of change.
I think there will be changes, but we've seen also a lot of big changes over the last 2 years. I think in the U.S. federal government, we may have seen more changes from an IT perspective in the last 2 years than we've seen in the last 8 years. And that's because of what happened after healthcare.gov. I mean, that was one of the biggest policy kind of fiascos, launches that we've seen in decades. But in the end, I think it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to digital government in America, because it focused the attention of the President of the United States, his cabinet, his chief of staff, on what it actually takes to build a website, right? And the complexity of that, and how we do IT procurement, how we hire people, who we have actually providing these services in a way that no congressional testimony, no reports ever could have done. So we've seen a lot of major changes that have taken place over the last 2 years. And I think what we will see in the next administration is a building on those, on that foundation of reform, and as opposed to something radically different.
If you're listening to this interview and want to learn more, you could go to Google and actually type in Stan Soloway, because he has a real nice review of the book, gives you some outlines of what the chapters are covering and what his perspective is. And he talks about how this book can apply to federal government, federal workers here in the next year or so. And so it's that's why I brought up this idea of a guideline, and maybe it's a manual, a handbook to survive the next transition or something, especially with achieving the goals that your agency needs to get some of his tasks. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about the book and how it can help my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Bill Eggers. He is Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Bill Eggers. He's the Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. If you want to find him on Google, it's E-G-G-E-R-S. And he's recently come out with a book that would be of interest to all of my federal listeners. The new book is Delivering on Digital. And if you want to learn more, there's a whole website for you. Just let's hit that website again. Get him over there.
DeliveringOnDigital.com.
I love it. A radio guy loves that. That's awful simple. Learn all more about it. It touches on a lot of the topics that my listeners have interest in at many different levels. What about capacity and scaling and moving to the cloud? How does this all impact hacking on capacity?
Well, basically, in today's world, one of the things that the administration has been trying to do is build this digital capacity in government. People with a digital mindset, digital skills, bring them into the federal government. That's the goal after healthcare.gov was to bring in 500 of the best and brightest from around across the country throughout Silicon Valley into the federal government to basically improve digital services. Now there's between United States U.S. Digital Services and 18F, they were probably talking about around 300 right now. And so it's been very successful doing that. And we've also seen agencies like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was created in 2001, has also done a nice job recruiting some of the best and brightest in. But when you look about recruitment, you have to think about it in a different way. You can't just ask people to go to government websites and you can't bring them into a bad environment. One of the things that a CFPB did, which I thought was really interesting and creative, was that they put their job descriptions and they hid them in source code. Why? Mm. Because just like car enthusiasts like to go under the hood to kind of check out the engine, web developers like to go in and check out the code and how good the code is. And so they're checking out the code of CFPB and they see a job description and that tells them, these guys get it. They understand us.
That's an example of hacking hiring, huh?
Absolutely. Well, and also if you look at 18F, what they're able to do is originally, 6 to 9 months to get someone into the federal government. Forget it. None of the good technologists are going to wait that long. So what they had to do is they had to figure out a way to hack the hiring process and get it down to about 6 to 7 weeks from 6 to 9 months. And they were able to do that. And that played a big role in them being able to bring in several hundred really top techies.
Yeah, we've had Megan in from GSA and talked about being flexible and using the cloud. And that's how hacking applies to hiring. What about how does hacking apply to training?
Well, training is another good thing. So I mean, it's my belief essentially that everyone in today's workforce needs to have some amount of digital savviness. And there is an agency in the UK called the Department of Work and Pensions. And the head of their transformation process, he came in from Vodafone and he said, you know what, we've got 100,000 employees. And I believe we need tens of thousands who can do digital well. I'm never going to be able to hire that many people or fast enough or have enough money to do that. So I'm going to need to retrain them, reskill the workforce. And so what he did was they set up a digital academy, which is like a 6-week boot camp that they would send people into. They'd send them in there. They'd learn skills like user experience, prototyping, doing journey mapping, doing web development. And after a certain amount of time, they would start transitioning out of that. And then they wouldn't go back to their old job, John. What they would do was they would essentially become plumber's mates, as the Brits call it, and they would work alongside an expert as like an apprentice and get better and better at that for 6 months at a time. And after 6 months, they were pretty good at that. And so you start to retrain that workforce. Their goal is to put tens of thousands of people through that sort of a process. And I think we need governments to do more and more of that, saying, how do we reskill our workforce and get people much more digitally savvy than they are today?
Well, that's pretty insightful. Rather than crying in your beer about, whoa, I can't hire good talent, maybe you have talent sitting at the desk next to you, and you can take and tap into that and take advantage of some of the skill set, that underused capability, the underused capacity.
Absolutely. You know, at Deloitte, what we do is we have a studio called Deloitte Digital, and we need people with very specific skills, people who have user experience skills, people that can do development, people that are creative designers, and people who can back end and so forth. And we've got a lot of people in the company who have a lot of IT skills and other skills, but they might not have those specific ones. So what we do is we send them to General Assembly, we send them for Code Academy, and they get those skills over a period of time. And then they can come in and work with the teams and get better and better. And people love it. They absolutely love that process of like going through that, learning something new.
You know, in the commercial consulting world, what one does is one goes into a company and looks and does a gap analysis. What you're doing here is you're looking at your existing staff and going, well, we have a gap analysis, no Bill here. Maybe he's going to have to learn about open source. Well, he's great with Microsoft, but maybe the gap is mobile, and take and fill in the gaps. And all of a sudden, you get a productive employee instead of crying in your beer about, oh, I can't hire anyone with mobile skills. You got them right in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be always some need to hire in new people, especially in the federal government, where the general workforce now is 23% of the workforce are millennials. They're the largest percentage of the workforce, yet in the federal government, they're still at only 7%. And that's because the federal government has not been hiring millennials. They need to hire a lot more of them. So that's one piece of the puzzle, people with those skills. The other piece is, just as we've been talking about, taking the existing workforce, looking at what are their assets, what are they already good at, and how can we teach them some of these new skills through, you know, massively open online courses, or sending them for 3-month sort of courses. There's a lot of that available today, and governments need to take advantage of it.
MOOCs, huh? MOOC. Yeah, and in New York City, that may be different than what we talk about a MOOC here. What about delivery? How's that hacking delivery apply to my listeners?
Well, one of the key things I found writing the book was that, so when you look at delivery, I looked a lot at this in a previous book called If We Can Put Man on the Moon, and there were processes you had to go through in terms of program management, and you did a lot of pre-work and everything. The big difference with digital is you need to start from a place of ignorance. Now, for governments, that's like blasphemy, right? They're supposed to have all the expertise and all the knowledge and know exactly how to do it. But in today's world, things are moving so fast that you can never have all the answers. And with digital, you don't know what the users really want and the best way to provide what the users need until you actually get out there and work with real users and iterate on that. And that means you start up from a place saying, we don't know all the answers, and we're going to iterate. We're going to use an agile process to iterate on the way there. And so ahead of time, you don't know. And that's really hard for a lot of government entities to do, and doing that real, real deep user research. So that's one of the key elements.
But it's true for everyone. I mean, there's technologies that are important now that couldn't have been thought of 5 or 7 years ago, when maybe a millennial got out of college and started working. I mean, we just have to throw out some terms. You know, I had a guy from SAS Federal in the show here. We talked about zettabytes. I mean, didn't teach that in college 5 years ago. I guarantee you that much, did they?
No, and in fact, I mean, that's a great point, John. Our skills become obsolete every 5 to 7 years now, because technology is moving at an exponential rate of change. Every other technological revolution, it was an S curve, which meant it would get better, but then it would plateau. Let us figure out what to do with it and how to adjust. Digital technologies for the last 30 years have been moving at an exponential rate. They're not slowing down. And that means that we have to constantly, constantly be adapting and reskilling ourselves. And I think that's a really hard thing for many people to do. We're talking, you know, right now, where governments are just figuring out mobile, and they're just figuring out how to do that well. Now we're getting into the Internet of Things and cognitive technologies and artificial intelligence and blockchain and so forth. And so you get the Red Queen effect, right, where you just feel like you're running in place because things are changing so quickly.
We have to take a little break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about delivering on digital. Some concepts here for my listeners to find out how they can weather the storms of the next 6-8 months, maybe the next year in the federal government, and still achieve some of the goals that your agency has assigned. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio. Our guest, Bill Eggers. He is Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Bill Eggers. He's the Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights, and we're talking about delivering on digital. He has put together a book, and the subtitle is The Innovators and Technologies That Are Transforming Government. And the phrase that pops up through this book is the phrase hacking, and throughout the show here, we've been saying, well, how does hacking apply to capacity? How does hacking apply to delivery? So I'm going to stick with the theme here. So how does hacking apply to procurement? I mean, does that make sense to you? I mean, I don't know how you can hack procurement.
Well, absolutely. Not only can you, but you have to. Traditional procurement processes simply won't work with digital. You need to fix them. You need to tweak them. You know, IT procurement and government, as you know, John, is burdened with all sorts of processes. It moves at a glacial pace. And despite the system being slow, the history of IT and government is filled with horror stories of long delays, billion-dollar cost overruns, software that just won't work. And it's not just government. An entire book could be written on the history of failed large IT projects.
Commercial as well?
Absolutely. That's what the Standish Group reports say. And so we have to do these projects in a different way means you have to actually procure in a different way. And the first thing you need to do is that it's increasingly obvious that this method of use for procurement and development, which I call a very expensive blind wedding, plays a big role in it, right? When you're not allowed to talk with your potential partners through large periods of time and you start up the process and you basically, there's not a lot of alignment and there's all sorts of surprises that happen as soon as you've signed the contract. That needs to change in the digital age.
I have to ask about healthcare.gov and some lessons learned from that because you mentioned in your book. Tell us about that and what's the takeaway? What's the lesson learned from that project?
Well, I mean, certainly one of the big lessons learned is that you need to go about these things differently. We need to chunk them into much smaller chunks. We need to do a lot of times when you look at procurement, they should be modular approaches with faster cycle times for innovators where you're using, again, agile processes and you are building off them the whole time and you are seeing how well you're doing. You have actually something to see in that period of time as opposed to just saying, well, it's following the schedule and so forth. And you know what I find with government officials is that once they start moving in this process where they're getting to see prototypes all the time, where they're getting involved in these sprints, where they are constantly getting to see new wireframes and what's happening, they love it. Because previously, what would happen was a senior government official would sign the contract maybe and then not get to see anything until the launch of an IT project.
Oh, that's has danger written all over it, doesn't it? Danger, danger, danger. And this happened in the commercial world as well. So we talked about hacking procurement. What about silos of information? Silos of information, can hacking be applied to that as well?
No, it absolutely can. And just maybe one or two other words on procurement, because I do believe this is so important in that we are starting to see some innovations that are occurring in government. And I just want to, you know, call those out. In the Health and Human Services, they have something called Buyer Club, which was spearheaded by a guy named Mark Nagar. And he realized that this blind marriage was at the heart of the problems of many government contracts. And so he's been leading the way away from a waterfall model towards an agile model to accelerate acquisition and mitigate risk. And what he actually asked for, instead of giving us a big proposal, he says, let's see what you can do early on. So let's see how you write the code. Let's see what you can develop so that they ask for an actual product. Early on before they're actually choosing a contractor. The other piece of procurement that's important is if you're going to do this in a different way, you need procurement. Acquisition people who know how to procure in an agile way and do digital procurement. And one of the problems is that it's not a skill set that's widely held in the federal government. So the U.S. Digital Service and Office of Procurement Policy are actually created a program To train and develop an elite cadre of digital contracting officers within the existing acquisition community who could be the go-to people for buying digital services in government. Otherwise, you end up having this kind of big problem in the funnel, right? You're trying to do a lot of these things, but if you only have a few procurement officers that know how to actually get the contracts done, then you're in trouble.
So the Buyers Club, that'd be an example of a hack.
Absolutely, because I mean, what they did was, it's an internal community where procurement managers can collaborate on new approaches on IT procurement. And what they do is they learn from each other. And then that's what's really key. And that learning then can, by sharing all of these best practices and lessons learned, they can accelerate that process of developing a new procurement model.
When we talk about models and agencies, it seems that 135 agencies, many of them have distinct cultures, don't they? It's almost like neighborhoods, almost like ethnic groups in Germany or something. I mean, these cultural ways to do things. And so a hack has to be applied within that given culture, I would think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's very, very difficult to go in and just change a culture and transform a culture. So we have, you know, if you actually look at government agencies and how digital can be applied, there's a lot of agencies that are essentially what I might call paperwork factories, because what they're doing is, whether it's Social Security Administration, whether it's the IRS and others, much of what they do can be digitized, 100% digitized. And those agencies have processes, almost like factory-like sort of processes, but for white-collar workers to move these things through. And so there's certain culture there. Whereas you're going to find a very, very different culture, say, in at the state level in an agency that does child welfare, where it's going to be very, very mission focused around that area. And so how you do digital, you have to be very, very cognizant of those different cultures.
I know you live in D.C. and I live in Virginia near the Beltway. There's a company. It's been around a while. I don't know how busy it is anymore. It's called Silo Smashers.
That's a great name.
It is a great. I love the name.
Absolutely.
And so I guess the question is, hacking apply to smashing silos? Or do you want to be very delicate with those silos?
Yeah. I mean, I think the hardest things to do in government is what I'm calling, you know, we call hacking silos in terms of making government more horizontal. Because right now we're used to what Don Kettle has called the vending machine model of government. And what that means is that we create these siloed services within government, and you have a separate service for education, for healthcare, for tax collection, and horizontal government is fundamentally different. What it does is it looks at what are the services, applications, processes that are common across government services, and how do you identify those thousands of redundant and overlapping systems, and basically bring those together. And by doing so, enhance the user experience, whether it's business, citizen, or another government agency, through these shared capabilities, which could become common services. Now, that's something that we've talked about for decades, and we have not had a huge amount of success in. And so what that chapter talks about is, how can we actually make this a reality?
It's interesting to take a look at the culture of an agency and talk about this horizontal move. There may be some resistance to going horizontal with agencies. That's my observation.
I think there is, but you know what we tried in the early 2000s, when Mark Forman was the CIO, and he had a great model, which is around this federal enterprise architecture, and the ambition was to kind of rip and replace, which means to take a lot of these old systems and replace them with enterprise systems, like around payroll and travel and other areas that governments could use. You could use across government. It made absolute sense to do, but it was very, very difficult. And I think, you know, one of the guys involved in with it, Tony Summerlin, noted that instead, what we need to do is eat the elephant with a spoon. And that means that rather than rip and replace, what you do is you do these more in chunks. You do it in a smaller way, because those sort of massive transformations across government very seldom succeed.
Yeah, it's slicing the salami.
Yes.
One spoonful of time for a bowl of soup, all kinds of analogies here. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about Delivering on Digital, a brand new book by Bill Eggers, E-G-G-E-R-S. You go to Amazon and type in his name, E-G-G-E-R-S, probably see several books. This will be the most recent one. This is a focus on innovation and technologies that are transitioning the federal government.
Well, and you want to make sure to, of course, type in William Eggers, because if you just type in Eggers, you'll also see a lot of my brother Dave's books.
Oh, can't have any of that. No, no. Sibling rivalry there.
No, you'll see a lot of books between
well,
us. So.
What a gene pool you come from. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking to Bill Eggers, Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bill Eggers, Executive Director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights. We're talking about a new book he just published called Delivering on Digital, The Innovators and Technologies That Are Transforming Government. I'll give you the setup question, Bill. Where can you get the book?
Oh, you can get the book at deliveringondigital.com. It's that easy.
That's pretty simple for me. I like easy. Yeah. You know, I teach at Georgetown, and they offer courses, and some courses fill up within a matter of minutes. And it's like if they announce a course in cybersecurity, it's like, you know, it's filled up within an hour. So that's really the hot topic, I think, in this town. I think anyone with good skills in that area are going to be very, very well received, very well compensated. And I think there's a correlation there between students' interest in compensation, cybersecurity. But hacking applies in many different aspects to cybersecurity as well. So how does it apply to cybersecurity?
Yeah, that cyber is the dark side of the dark side of the hacking metaphor. And it's also the number one challenge to digital transformation. Because essentially, if people do not trust that government can protect their personal information, their private information, they will not be comfortable with all of this being digitized and having a digital identity and so forth. And government stores more data now than the private sector and often keeps it on older, more vulnerable systems. And, you know, governments are also targeted not just by opportunistic hackers, but also by teams that are funded and trained by nation states. And so even as governments try to protect themselves against these intruders, we also, as citizens and employees, we want our data conveniently available anytime, anywhere. And that's really the dilemma and the challenge that government faces in the cyber arena.
That's an interesting fact. You just saying this, the federal government holds more information than the commercial world. Is that what you said?
Well, a government stores more data than any private company, any single company would. I mean, when you think about all of the citizen data and employee data that governments have and across that, that's a huge amount of data.
And it's just healthcare alone is a huge amount.
I mean, if you like look at a company, a private company might experience 50,000 attempts at cyber intrusion per day, and the same number for the Pentagon is 10 million. Daily attempts. And the National Security, Nuclear Security Administration reports similar numbers. So that is a really big challenge. And it's a challenge that's changed over time, which is one reason why there's such an interest, of course, in the cybersecurity field as a career.
So one way to innovate would be through, I think, to focus on customers or end users or user-centric design. And UI, UX skills are very much in demand in this town as well. Is that one of the methods that you can say that will help with innovation in the federal government?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. One of the first things government has to understand is just what you said is, you know, in terms of the users in this respect, the bad guys, what do they look like? Really understanding them. And at the heart of this underground economy of cyber criminals are black markets and bazaars where any kind of digital thievery can be commissioned. You know, when a syndicate wants a hack, it can outsource for capabilities it lacks or simply contract for the whole job. In fact, many hackers today don't do any real hacking. They simply buy and coordinate the services of others, and they sit back and watch the damage unfold. Then, you know, these markets live on the so-called dark web, which is the internet's wild west. It can't be accessed with traditional browsers or search engines. And, you know, Rand actually studied these markets recently, and they found exponential growth in the last 10 to 15 years with massive lower barrier to entry. They're marketplaces with, you know, up to 100,000 members, global revenues, where you can literally buy exploit kits on them. They have companies that have CRM systems for the criminals in many respects. So what governments need to do is understand, you know, what's coming out of the dark web in a deep, deep way. And you can only do that by actually going there and doing that sort of user-centric research, right, on the bad guys.
Speaking of users, one part of agile software development is iteration, but it happens after the systems have gone gold or whatever term you want to use. And so you have to have constant user engagement and feedback because there's going to be new requests and new interest. You know, look at the rise of video on Facebook in the last 2 years. No one could have predicted that, but, you know, I'm sure they had to respond, and I'm sure that our govies who are listening have to respond to new changes in the marketplace as well.
No, absolutely. So that's so critical, John, when you look at cyber, is that it's not just about, you know, building a wall, building a moat, that sort of thing. It really is about constantly keep moving, keep changing, perpetual unpredictability, no sitting, no stopping. You have to modify defenses so fast that hackers waste money and time probing systems that have already been changed. And, you know, I think savvy cybersecurity pros understand this. The more you change the game, the more your opponent's costs go up, the more your costs go down. Maybe they'll move on to an easier target, but that's adaptability. So governments have to be incredibly adaptive now when it comes to cyber security, because again, the bad guys, because the costs, you know, the probability of getting costs are fairly low. And so that cost benefit trade-off is very, very high for them to keep on trying to innovate in that area.
There's a company in town called SiteWorks, and they design websites. And the guy who runs his name, Tim McLaughlin. So I went to visit his site because I know Tim, and he's a lot of fun. He just opened up a brewery in Vienna.
Oh, great.
And I noticed his site is just so simple. It's like you could almost count the number of words in the site. Very mobile friendly, very thumb friendly is what I call it. Very simple, very easy. It seems to me that a simple design like this would feed in with being able to respond to users' needs, because you know, simple requirements, you can change and pivot and move much easier than these long, complex, you know, billboard type sites.
Yeah. You know, if you look at gov.uk, which was their redesigned site where they took hundreds and hundreds of websites and they put them all into one site. It's really a huge achievement. It all has one look and feel, but it almost looks like a wireframe. It's that
really
simple. And the reason they did it was because people want to go on there and they just want to find the information as quickly as they can. And oftentimes on mobile devices, where 50%, 60% of individuals try to access government services. So it was all about that simplicity. Governments have so much complexity in them. And what I think a lot of those with the digital mindset want to do, it hurts them. It literally hurts them to see that complexity. And so they just try to figure out, how do we simplify the complex?
And in the commercial world, the objective is to provide the person with a question with an answer as fast as possible and as simple and quickly as possible. And maybe some of that's applying to the federal government, especially in terms of transparency and making these websites agile, which is another theme that comes up in your book all the time, the transparency and agile move, pitch, user engagement. It's almost like a boxing match here.
No, exactly. And it really, a lot of this comes down to you adapt to them. Don't make them adapt to you. If someone's typing in the wrong information, this and that, because it was too complex for them, you know, that's your fault, not theirs. And it's always about really the user is king, I think, in understanding that. But it really takes getting out there and understanding what the users are doing. I mean, if you look at, let's say, businesses have to spend a lot of money reporting on government and compliance with it. And traditionally, government agencies have been like, well, here are the rules in this 4,000 word rule book, figure it out. And that just doesn't work anymore. That makes you less competitive in many respects. The government of New Zealand just went through a process where they looked at all of the pain points for businesses, because they wanted to make New Zealand the number one country in the world for doing business. And they basically just mapped out all of those pain points, and one after another, they're going through and trying to remove those from businesses by doing journey mapping, by focusing on the business as user.
And you get traffic from Seattle, Washington to New Zealand of all places. And that's where you see a lot of young people are going back and forth and bicycling and thinking about moving there, because maybe they're adapting and responding. Maybe they're being flexible and agile with the needs of their potential citizens, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, not to mention, after having been to New Zealand many times, it's probably one of the most beautiful countries in the world. It's just shockingly beautiful and just such a wonderful place to go when we're and you, where you can do all sorts of crazy extreme sports that you probably nowhere else in the world you're able to do.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a good place. I don't know whether Seattle connected to, but there sure is a strong connection there. Maybe people move there back and forth. Well, if you want to learn more about Delivering on Digital, you can order the book. It's called Delivering on Digital, The Innovators and Technologies That Are Transforming Government. Today's interview is with Bill Eggers. He's the executive director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights, and you are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.